You'll notice that I have my wristwatch here in the front, being warned about time. I will pay no attention to my wristwatch. It is good to worship the Lord. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Acts and read together a few words from Acts chapter 10, the first four verses of Acts, concerning a centurion named Cornelius. Hear now God's word. At Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what is known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 p.m, he saw a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God." As far as our reading from his word, let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father in heaven, may our words be as a memorial offering in your sight. Attend to them, O Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, but we just had Christmas and New Year's, and I'm tired. The college is really bright. They have another week's vacation to sort of recover from the holidays. The seminary, they crack the whip, and we start already. I'm going to talk to Dr. O'Neill to see if we might get some wisdom here from the college schedule. I think it's a good idea. Now, why do we do these things? Why do we run around at Christmas time and have New Year's Eve celebrations? One of the reasons that we do it is we were created to make memorials. We were created to remember significant events like the turning from one year to another. We were, of course, to remember the great act of God, the incarnation of Jesus Christ. As we celebrate Christmas, we remembered that God in His goodness sent to us His Son. It's a memorial of something that happened thousands of years ago. We can't, as Christians, help but to celebrate, to remember God's good deeds. So both believers at the time of Christmas and unbelievers at New Year's celebrate these memorial events, these turning points in life. And that's part of God's plan. We see in the Old Testament that God established memorials. Today we'll look at three types of Old Testament memorials. And then we'll turn to this passage concerning Cornelius. God commanded Israel to have memorials. The first kind were memorials that they needed to remember concerning worshiping God. The second kind of memorial was to remember God's great acts. And the third and final type of memorial that we'll look at today were God commanding simple remembrances of His great deeds. First of all, let's take a look at the scriptures concerning memorials relative to worshiping God. Turn with me to the book of Exodus in chapter 28. In Exodus 28, verses 9 through 12, God gives instructions for a memorial. It's the high priest. And the high priest was the most important of all of God's priests. He wore special clothing. And one of the pieces of his clothing was a vest, a tunic. It's a tunic or a vest that had special shoulder patches on it, very much like a military general. You know, the generals would have these these things on their shoulders. So the high priest of God had on his vest, on his shoulders, black onyx stones. And on the stones that he wore on his shoulders were engraved the names of the tribes of Israel. Now that seems like a fairly strange way to dress. And why would it be on his shoulders? Well, it's very clear that this was a memorial for God. God is in the heavens. The high priest, once a year, would enter into the Holy of Holies, would come into the very presence of God, and God would look down on the high priest and see on his shoulders the names of the people of God and remember, as if God could forget. He can't forget, but nevertheless, this was a memorial for God to remember their names. It's a beautiful way of thinking about God, thinking about us and remembering us. God could read the names of the people. And as the priest did his duty, he carried on his body a memorial of the people. Well, there's another kind of memorial relative to worshiping God, and it's a memorial concerning the offerings and the sacrifices that God commanded. In the book of Leviticus, in chapter 2, he, in verses 2 and 9, gives instructions concerning a memorial portion of the offering. Now, you know how complex the offerings were. Rams and bulls were to be sacrificed, but there were also grain offerings. And all of these offerings were given by God's people freely to God. But there was a special type of pleasing sacrifice. At Leviticus 2:2, God makes a command for a special grain offering. It consisted of fine flour and oil and frankincense. And this was a food offering that God calls the memorial portion. He repeats the instructions in verse 9. And through the scriptures, there are quite a number of these memorial portions that are to be offered as pleasing scents to God. This particular burnt offering had a delicious aroma. And God delighted in this offering to him. In a sense, he freely ate of this food. And it's an example also at times in Isaiah 66 verse 3. Will you turn there as well? Isaiah 66 3. God uses this normally pleasing memorial sacrifice and turns it around in the book of Isaiah and uses it also as an example that when something normally pleased him, when something is offered with unclean hands and unclean heart, that which is pleasing can become detestable. Hear what Isaiah says in 66, beginning at 3. He who slaughters an ox, by the way, that's something that is good. God commanded offerings of oxen, is like one who kills a man. He who sacrifices a lamb, like one who breaks a dog's neck. He who presents a grain offering, like one who offers pig's blood. He who makes a memorial offering of frankincense, like one who blesses an idol. These have chosen their own ways, and their soul delights in their abominations. Now, in a little while, we'll have the Lord's Supper, and there'll be a warning. And one of the reasons for the warning is connected to these passages. A good thing like the Lord's Supper can become an abomination. And the issue is the heart. Now in Psalm 38, we don't have it in our Psalters, but Psalm 38, in the introduction to that psalm, it says David wrote this psalm to be sung at the time of the memorial offering. So there were offerings that were made to God, commanded by him, that are these special memorial offerings relative to his worship. The second kind of memorial that we want to look at this morning are memorials of God's great acts in history. And the first one is a beautiful one. It's concerning gold. Gold was a memorial to God. Now, back in the Old Testament, there was a group called the Midianites, and the Midianites were wicked people. The Midianites had attempted to seduce the Israelites to sexual immorality and to idolatry. We read that story in Numbers 25. If you'd like to turn to Numbers, we'll be looking at Numbers 31. But in Numbers 25, we have the background. And this was a sin. So God told Moses that the Israelites were to take vengeance on the Midianites because of this temptation that the Midianites placed before the Israelites. And 1,000 soldiers were to be taken from each of the tribes. Now, in Numbers 31:4, we see the great slaughter that the Israelite soldiers inflicted on the Midianites. We know that they killed at least 5 of the kings of the Midianites. And then in verse 8, after the victory, the Israelite army had to be purified for 7 days. And then we have the continuing story in verses 20 to 24. Now, there is a huge plunder that the people of God receive from the Midianites as part of the punishment against the Midianites and part of the blessings to Israel. We see the numbers given in verses 50 to 53. Now, if you were here an hour or so ago, my colleague, Dr. Pruto, led us in adult education, and he talked about shekels of gold. And if you read in your Bibles in verses 50 to 53, you'll see that shekels of gold are mentioned again, 16,000 some shekels of gold. So while Dr. Pruto gave us what that meant, I did my homework. Here's what it means. 16,750 shekels of gold is equivalent, if Dr. Pruto's numbers are right, which of course they are, is equivalent to about $5.5 million. And in terms of weight, somewhere around 375 pounds of pure gold. Now you imagine lifting up a 25-pound cement block, 375 or even more pounds of gold were part of the spoils that were that was dedicated to God as a memorial. But in contrast to the memorial, the beautiful onyx shoulder pieces of the high priest, or the massive stack of gold from the Midianites, a different kind of memorial is also mentioned. It's in Joshua chapter 4, verse 7. I know we're jumping all around, but in Joshua 4, 7, we learn of yet another visible memorial, but it's not onyx, it's not gold, it's simply rocks. Simply rocks. Then you shall say to them, Joshua 4, 7, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. Stones, simple rocks, not hewn, not covered in gold, became a memorial of God's deliverance as he parts the Red Sea, as he parts the river and the ark comes through. The waters of deliverance, like the waters of baptism, are a sign, a memorial of God's great acts. But thirdly and finally, as we think about a memorial to God's great acts, besides the beauty of God's salvation, memorials were also commanded to remember times of sin and sad occasions. Times of great sin, even memorials were made of iniquity. In Numbers 5, 15, Isaiah 57, 8. But the greatest visual memorial of iniquity, of course, is the rainbow itself. that God sets in the sky at the time of the flood to remind himself, in a sense like the onyx ephod plates, to remind himself not to punish the world for their sin. He remembers the tribes of Israel, so he remembers and makes a memorial not to destroy the earth by a flood with the memorial of the rainbow. Other memorials, again, are in Numbers 5, 15 and Isaiah 57, 8. And finally, in the book of Exodus, God makes memorials to be part of the everyday life of Israel. In Exodus 13, 9, we read this. And it shall be to you as a sign on your hand, and as a memorial between your eyes, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. And then also in Exodus 17:14, we read this. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this as a memorial in a book and recite it in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. Yes, simple remembrances of God's word were set in stone, set in gold, written in onyx, worn on the body. God wants Israel, and he wants us to remember his great deeds, to memorialize his saving work in our lives. And as we turn to the New Testament, we can understand with greater insight what's happening with Cornelius. Now, isn't the story of Cornelius a strange one? He is clearly identified as a Roman captain, a centurion, a man normally not known for piety. But in the book of Acts, as Luke writes of this Cornelius, do you notice the care in terms of the description? He has not yet been circumcised, but clearly he has entered into the life and the faith of the worshiping Jewish community. He knows the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what is amazing in this time of redemptive history is that God, by the voice of an angel, says himself, your prayers and your gifts as a non-Israelite, non-circumcised man, have ascended up, like memorial offerings, have ascended up as a memorial offering. God has seen and heard and, in a sense, smelled his prayers. He has seen the offerings of his hands, and they are to God like a memorial. It's this memorial upon which I want us to focus this morning. Our prayers and the gifts of our hands are seen and heard by God and remembered by God. And what does the story of Cornelius and the Old Testament background, what does this mean for us? How can we apply these teachings to our own lives? It's true that we have just celebrated these memorials of Christmas and the New Year. And it's important to celebrate those things. It's clear that we enjoy memorials, and God commands them. But I think the scriptures also want us to understand that it's good for us as individuals to remember God's good acts in our lives as individuals and as families and as a congregation. As we enter into a new year, I'd like to challenge us very practically, even this week, as we come together as a family, perhaps in a time of family worship, perhaps at a meal time, to take a few minutes and as a family, as individuals within the family, to recount the memorial of God's goodness toward our families. To say again, to speak out loud, here are times when I want to testify among the other family members, within the privacy of the family, I've seen God's goodness here in our family this year. And I want to testify to the family. Perhaps you'll need to speak about how a brother or a sister has done something kind, or a mom or a dad or a grandma or a grandpa. And in this time of reflection and memorial, it's also appropriate to remember our sins and to thank God that, like the rainbow has been set in the sky, so God has not judged us according to how our sins deserve, but rather has shown to us mercy that is found in Christ. And as we go from the family, we move to the congregation. And this congregation is really a family of families. And we function like a family. As we look back on 2008, as a congregation, we too can reflect upon the good things that God has done. The mercy that He has shown upon us as a congregation. So my challenge is to do a family memorial this week. To write it down. Maybe not on tablets of stone or bars of gold or rocks, but at least on the tablets of our hearts. An accounting of the goodness of God. And as we look forward to 2009, what memorial will we be able to recount concerning the congregation as we look ahead? As we plan, for example, for the congregational meeting and budgeting, what memorial are we writing as we look to the future? How is our memorial being written? There's one closing promise that I'd like to give to each one of us. It is this word of assurance. Even when we sin, God is good and He will bring about good purposes. Isn't that true? Don't you know that first as an individual, then as a family, and for all of us as a congregation? God is good and He has dealt with the worst of us better than the best of us deserves. Did you get that? He has dealt with us in grace and with great mercy as a congregation. And He is good. So perhaps spend some time and compose a family memorial of God's goodness. And plan and think about the future. God will continue to be good to us. Let's give to Him then our very hearts and lives, for it is good and right for us to do that. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, the great memorial of the incarnation is still fresh in our memories. We rejoice that Christ came. We thank You that You've been with us through another year. And Lord, help us not to have short memories, but to engrave memorials as individuals and families and as a congregation to Your goodness. For You are worthy and a great and good God. In Jesus' name, together we pray. Amen.